This week, we've got a challenge for you to share both the podcast and match play cards with another coach or teacher. A coach who totally loves games, a teacher that needs something on their Christmas list, or a coach who just needs that boost. Be sure to share them with them. This week on the podcast, Head of Academy Performance at St Albans Football Club, Anthony Gosling, is with us. Fresh from spending the night with us on our UK tour in Hartford, we reflect on the take-home messages, why we should definitely be starting more sessions with games, and what a whole day of using match play cards looks like. Happy listening.
Probably start at the beginning, or almost of where we are now, in terms of how we crossed paths. Obviously came to the UK tour, which was pretty cool. And as soon as you said we use the match play cards for the whole day during a festival, I kind of, my eyes lit up, and I got pretty excited and knew I was going to learn some stuff from you. So maybe just kind of, when did you get involved and how did we end up where we are now?
Yeah, so I believe it's now been 3 to 4 years since I've been using the cards. Something that I've seen, me and my colleagues have seen on social media, and saw it quite quickly grown, and something we followed to have a look at and use. And then sort of after them purchasing the match day cards and the reflection cards, it was something that then more colleagues then jumped onto as well. So my role as football development officer for a grassroots non-for-profit charity is that we have over 106 teams, we have over 18 community projects. So across the week we see about 1,500 to 2,000 players across all our sessions and our community projects. And it's something that we found that the cards then allowed us to do what we were already doing, but in new ways, and new ways that the players found it was enjoyable, it was different. We were still doing conditions and constraints, but now that we've got new ways to look at it, and having the players having their own opportunity to select the cards as well made a real difference as well. It allowed us to give the players ownership and understanding, and they got to enjoy their sessions. So an example that was quite usually done quite early on when I got the cards 3-4 years ago is we'd start off the session with a game, and straight away it's like, right, if we're going to do a game, let's try and be productive about it. So right, last week we worked on keeping the ball, and it was possession work. So right, we've got the amount of touches equals amount of goals, passes. Amount of passes make goals. You start on two touch, and every time you score, you get another touch. And straight away, the players are coming in earlier to training because they want to be on time to make sure they don't miss any game time, because they know we're using the cards and we can use the constraints there. So from that, it's straight away, it's really changed. It changed their mindset. It got them earlier. It then got them more focused about it. And I think it's then us as coaches in those type of sessions thinking, you know what? We're now being more productive with our game time. I think sometimes as coaches, we're very much like, right, it's just game time, it's your time, I'm done, I'm just here to referee. But actually, it's now using the cards, is I'm still a referee or a scorekeeper, and it just allows the players to then manage the game themselves. So I think that's been really enjoyable. And then kind of going back on something that we've touched already is that during our holiday camps, we use the cards a lot throughout the day. There has been days and times where we've done like a 2 to 3 hour festival, and it's literally just been card games. It's literally just been coach lab match play cards, and it's been like, right, four group games, then like not a knockout game, but like you go into one out of knockout, so everyone gets like 8 games, and every game has a different card for all the pitches. So we're on the Astro, there's four pitches all set up, and right, captains come in, this is your card, right, write down on your whiteboard, take it back to your team, that is the card that we're going to play for these 6 minutes. These are the first game, next game, and going from there. And straight away it's putting intent into the sessions, it's giving the players a way of being conscious about what we're trying to help them learn, and trying to then push them on to then adapt to it as well. I think, well, I know we're going to touch on it more when we're talking about scenarios and the impact it's going to have on our games, but creating those situations and scenarios. So by using those cards as well, it then puts more pressure on the players in a scenario, then it can help tweak them and it changes the experience for them. So then when they do play on a Saturday or Sunday, the cards are realistic to how the game looks on the weekend, which then if we do that more in training, we're then giving them more tools in their toolbox through experiences to then be able to use on the weekend. So I think that's been something that's been really beneficial for us with the cards. And that's something we've been doing quite a lot over the last 4 years. And I think something that my colleague Charlie is very good at using is the reflection cards. It's something that I still probably need to be better at with myself. But Charlie and other colleagues use the reflection cards. And I think using those cards to actually, again, consciously get the players to think about what's gone well for them, what's gone well for their team, who done well on the opposition, who done well in their team, what as a group could we have done better, what's your favourite thing the coach does. I think that card scares a lot of people. I think, actually, is this something I want to hear? Is this something I'm not? And actually, it's you're providing a safe environment for the players to provide positive feedback for the coaches. And when we have used those cards with CPD sessions for our coaches and volunteers, actually, well, 100 times out of 100 that we've ever done it, it's always been positive feedback. It's not necessarily saying the coach would normally hear. So the coach won't normally go, so what did you enjoy about it? And then little Johnny says, the game. And it's just like, and actually now it's changing the communication from the cycle of sort of coach to player, player to player, coach to parents and so forth. Now it's creating more of a open communication pathway. So that's worked really well for us as well.
Yeah, epic. I've wrote a few things down. Restrict, reward and relate, I think are three kind of core things that you kind of not necessarily said specifically, but in what you said there, all relate back to that restrict, reward and relate. And you said around, you know, making the game or making training look and feel like the game, which I think is really important. And, you know, one of the misconceptions in coaching is if we're playing a game, there must be learning. And is a massive reason around why we created the cards was actually, can we get more out of the games that we do play? So yes, we're playing five-a-side, but let's put some scenarios in there. Let's put some team challenges in there, because you never go on to a weekend knowing exactly what the opposition are going to do. And how many times do we watch a session or go to a session, we give everyone exactly the same challenge or don't give anybody any challenges. And it's just very plain. So one of the biggest reasons we created the cards was exactly what you said there, getting the most out of it. And I love how you start with a game, and I wish every single coach and teacher did that, because you said it there, but kids definitely arrive on time and you don't wait 20 minutes into a game as soon as the whistle goes to make any decisions. You're making decisions as soon as that whistle goes and as soon as the training session goes or starts, you should be making those decisions as well. And I even wrote down a start and finish on the same game. So session two, you might finish on one game, but session three, you're starting effectively where you left off. So they're almost ready. They're in the mindset. They're going to carry on exactly the game. The points are the same. They know their team. Game's the same. Finish second session and go straight into a third. And it's just continuous kind of all the way through.
Yeah.
Talk to us around some of the impact. So you said some good stuff you're doing, and they've only added to that. But what was some of the good stuff you're doing, and what's that impact been even more?
I think even more is that we're starting to see kids play to the rules and be creative and smart about how they can get around the rules as well. So kids aren't necessarily cheating and such, but they're finding ways to bend around the rules and then be able to use the rules to their advantage as well. So it's very much when we've looked to play games where it's on limited touches, where it might be normally that if there was no condition, there's no constraint, and it was on two touch, it'd be very much balls into feet, control, and taking a touch, and it's gone. Now that the players are using the rules to be smarter with their decisions, with the constraints that have been put onto them, to then have more impact on their game. So, for example, when we're looking to play the amount of passes make the amount of goals, what they found that is if they then sit at the back and try and do 10 passes and then try and go score, it's then a little bit more unrealistic. However, the players have found that through using the rules and and being smarter with it, that actually if we can make, if our goalie starts with it and we make four passes really quickly, we can then go score and make sure. I think they understand the risk and the reward a little bit more as well. And I think that's something that's quite hard to implement and sort of ingrain into players, that actually the risk and the reward sometimes the reward is so great, but the risk is so high that actually if you try and do it, it ends up not working and then you end up getting frustrated. So I think it's really using the cards and using the different constraints that has different outcomes. I think it's really changed our sort of decision-making and thought process in training, and then has then had an impact on the game. I think we're seeing a lot of skills that are transferable and realistic to what the game looks like on a weekend in training through by using the cards, that the decision-making is gone to a different level. And I think people are then consciously thinking about these areas a lot more. So I think from there, that's been a massive benefit. But also as well, alongside the match day cards, the reflection cards, I think what the cards have had an impact, and some of the coaches have got the cards, the reflection cards, and what they've done is after the game, they've had a bit of a debrief, and then in their parents' group chat, they've then put one of the card messages in. And then what that's done is then sparked a conversation with little Johnny and his dad, or with his mum, or with a daughter, and then it's actively promoting a positive environment for a parent and a player to then have a conversation about how the player can reflect on their own ability. I think that's worked really well as well. I think obviously stereotypically, as parents always do, because they care and they want their children to do well. But sometimes that conversation in the car could be absolutely zero. And sometimes it's just the parent offloading onto the player about what was good, what was bad, and the whole kind of journey home. It's just more a talking to rather than a talking with. So I think from that point of view, it's really changed the dynamic as well.
Yeah, I think, or I know, the reflection match play cards are probably the most underrated deck, I believe. They're maybe not the fanciest, the trendiest, the coolest in the world, but I really believe they are the most underrated deck. And like you said there, I think once you get them and you see them, you read them, you connect with a situation, you connect with a kid that you think, I need to give this card to that kid because that question they really need to just focus on. And sometimes you don't need to hear the answer back. So it might be when they arrive at the session, they pick up a reflection card, or you give them a reflection card, and that is their point of contact. That is their little journal that they keep with them, a little pointer. They keep with them for 1 week, one session, whatever it might be, but they always go back when they get a drink or when they go in the car, like you said. They reflect on that question because I believe, because we designed to be so open questions, they change or influence the behaviour of the person that's reading it as well, which is really powerful. I wrote down a game here when you mentioned kind of when they made the four passes, making 10 passes at the back. And something we did at Bloomsbury was we just played a normal game, kind of 5v5. With the halfway line, there was a different card in each pitch, in each half, sorry. So in the attacking half, there's one card. In the defensive half, there was another. Almost like you said there, to just try and push that risk and that reward and that game-related stuff in, all right, well, when we're in the attacking half, what do we do? Or when we're in the defensive half, what do we want to try and do? And trying to change behaviour and influence those interactions with the game, but encouraging the coaches to, all right, let's choose one card for the attacking half and then choose one card for the defensive half.
No, absolutely. And I think on that, what works well with the cards is that some of the cards work well together towards the same outcome, and some of the cards work together but to get different outcomes. So like I think it's player take on, the amount of players you take on and then score, and then every time you win a tackle or an interception, it's a goal. So straight away you've now got both teams attacking and defending trying to strive towards the same outcomes for goals and for success, but it's now then making it harder for each other person. So the team that are trying to take on players it's got to be done quickly. If it's too slow and you lose the ball, you then lose a goal as well. And then straight away, it then makes teams look to move the ball quicker, and then makes teams then want to press and win the ball back quicker as well. So straight away, they're both different outcomes that then complement each other and they marry up to really nicely together and go the same way. So, no, absolutely. I think the way you explained it at Bloomsfield with the two halves, I think I haven't done it on sort of pitch geography as such. However, I have done, as we've said before, like one team has one card, one team has the other. Attackers and defenders have different ones as well. And I think what one time that I tried it was that we had a 5v5. Each player was married up with another player and they had to play against each other with a card. So like two goalies played against each other, left back, right mid, right back, left mid, two centre mids, left back, right mid, left back, right mid. And then straight away, you've then got two teams going against each other. Then you've got 10 players going against each other. And it then allows more opportunities for success for individuals. And I think what it then does in a healthy way adds more chaos to the chaos of small-sided games as it is. I think, especially when you look at 5v5 and 7v7, at times with the real younger ones, it looks like chaos already. But as long as we can manage it and organise the chaos and then add more interference and from there, it just adds more. And again, straight away, what the cards do is help provide an environment that then allows the game to teach whilst also being controlled and facilitated and directed by the coach. So creating those little challenges against 1v1s, again, then adds more fun. Then you might have a 5v5 where one kid scores six goals out of the seven goals, but then what about the other players that haven't scored? Kids very see like very black and white. I've got to make tackles, I've got to score, I've got to dribble. But if you can't do those things to positively impact your team, there might be something you could do against your individual you're playing against. So I think it allows more opportunities for success and players to come out having more fun and enjoying them.
You just got me reflecting. I wrote down, you know, if we played two team games and one team and against another, you might even give one team two cards, but only give the other team one card. So just pitching that level of challenge, or that could be three cards, two cards or whatever it might be, but pitching that level of challenge. And then my own personal reflection was I should probably do a better job at sharing the cards with the parents when I coach. You know, you mentioned chaos, and you know, when the kids play, it is chaos, and I love chaos. But some parents, maybe even some other coaches, probably don't love that chaos as much, and maybe have a misconception about what coaching is and what games is. So my own personal reflection is there is actually, all right, if a coach gets these for the first time, go and share them with the parents. Say, pick a couple of cards, or these are the cards we're using on a match day, or whatever it might be, just to involve the parents in that process. Because I think it's a misconception that, all right, we're going to play a game and the coach isn't going to do anything. Actually, the coach has selected some cards. They've chosen the individuals they're going to give it to. That's the role of the coach. And then when the game's going on, the role of the coach is, as you said, to notice, to add another challenge in, to pick this, pick that. But yeah, my own personal reflection is I should probably include the parents and my wider coaching group a little bit more.
No, I think that's the thing as well. I think that's why the start of the season is so important as well. And I guess being able to do that week in or monthly with your parents, it can be hard sometimes. Parents can turn up and say, like, what is going on? This looks crazy. And actually, there's a method behind the madness at times. And that chaos with the different sort of social cues and visual cues that the players have to pick up is only going to benefit them. But no, taking those opportunities to get the parents on board, it will make things long term a lot easier.
Yeah, it was music to my ears when you said decision making has gone through the roof. That's maybe the new tagline that we should have, but that's music to my ears. But just diving in on that a little bit, what else have you seen different in the kids?
I think I've seen a much more healthier experience around being competitive, and it isn't necessarily competition to win, and it's not a win at all cost or anything like that. it's creating more healthy opportunities to win and to lose. And one of my colleagues, most recently, we had had a conversation, and he said that, and this can sound awfully deep, but through football and life, a lot of people win and people lose. But the majority of the time in sport, unless you're very fortunate, you lose. So now creating those opportunities in training where they are competitive, but it's a safe environment, it's comfortable, players are allowed to make mistakes. And what was great was what you said the other week at the CPD about, unless they make it 3-4 times, it's not a mistake, it's just a technical execution point. So if people do make these execution faults and then mistakes, it's still okay because it's in training. But it's then the same with being competitive as well, because we're doing, rather than just doing a 20-minute game, and then at the end of that one game, there'll be a winner or a loser, or it's a draw, but no one wants to finish on a draw in training. So it's got to be penalties, or it's got to be something quickly. It's then, instead of doing that, we're now doing 4-4-minute games. So instead of just one big game, it's smaller, shorter games. And then actually, players might still lose, but they might lose 3-1 or something along the lines there, or the games go 2-2. So then it creates a more healthy shift towards being competitive, that actually you could be winning and then losing and winning, and it then creates it. And I think what that's then done is it allows players to become a little bit more resilient as well. It's allowing that actually, right, we've lost the first game, but we've now got an opportunity to go again. And where that would normally happen over a weekend is then you've got one game on a Saturday or Sunday, then you've got to wait a week, then you've got to wait a week, you've got to wait a week. Now what we're doing is trying to build more resilient individuals, trying to go in from there. So I think creating a more healthy competitive edge in players about winning. I think then also what it has also adapted as well is social intelligence in children, especially from a young age as well. Kids start to recognize now actually that rightly so, technically as individuals at a young age, we focus them on them as individuals, and that we've got to make them better as a player for their development, which then will impact the team. However, what we need to do from a very early age is then develop them socially as a team, so then each individual can work together as a team. And I think what then that has allowed us to do is by doing a lot more scenarios and situation work, is I think it's worked on, they have to communicate more together as a team. They have to show that teamwork. They have to have little 30-second conversations about, right, Anthony's given us this card, this means this, we could try and do this and try and work it out together and have those conversations. But I think what it also has then allowed it to happen is that they've then been able to regulate their own emotions and communication more, because it's a lot of trying to play against somebody else to get points. And then they've then got to realize that actually, if I make a mistake, I've got no time to sulk about it or worry about it. I've got to go again. And then that allows us to have a conversation and coach them afterwards from there. But then on the flip side, it's also being more appreciative of other people's feelings and how the rest of the group is socially. So if there is individuals in the group who are a little bit more reluctant to say something, actually now I've seen players kind of put an arm around somebody and say, like, Jack, what do you think of this? Like, what could you do? So I think from that side, as an individual, psychologically decision-making and dealing with being competitive and being resilient because of the amount of opportunities and situations you're creating, which I think then really well transfers to a Saturday and a Sunday. A lot of the games are done now in quarters or thirds. So again, it's changing that mindset. Actually, it's not just two halves or it's just one big game. It's now, can we try and win this quarter, then the next one, then the next one? Can we win this third or the next one? And then it's allowed us to socially really develop and almost develop that emotional and social intelligence in players, where they can understand, they can communicate, and they can do their verbal communication, they can listen, they can pick up social cues from individuals. And I've seen this happen in as young as 7 and 8s, and I've seen it really blossom more so in sort of the latter ones where it's more like 12 to 16s.
There's so much gold in there, and I, a couple of things I wrote down is, you know, what do you measure? If you only measure the score, there's always going to be a winner and loser. You know, so what do you measure? And the score line shouldn't just be the goal score and the goals conceded. There should be something deeper within that. And whether that's putting cards into game days or whatever it might be, or player challenges, but just what do you measure? And then how much you talk about it. So if you never talk about winning, or you never talk about losing, you're always going to miss out on something. And I think it's really good to talk about winning. And I think it's also really good to talk about losing, because I think that's those feelings are important. And I wrote down here, like, the game is ultimately just challenging players to find a way to win. And if I frame that to players, all you have to do is sort of find a way to win. It doesn't become a straight line, actually, it becomes a little bit more curvy and a little bit more tactical and a little bit more strategic, and players are thinking about, ultimately they're thinking a little bit more, but just finding a way to win, I don't think is a bad thing to say at all, because it's going to challenge their problem solving, it's going to challenge the way they communicate together and work together, but challenging players to find a way to win.
No, absolutely. It's changing that social view on winning and losing. So it's very much changing that. Yes, there is a winner and a loser, but actually sometimes you gain more out of losing than you do winning, because you've seen things, you've tried your hardest, and sometimes it hasn't worked, and sometimes it has worked. Sometimes things haven't worked for you, and that's okay. And I think that's where we've really got to change the mindset, change that it is okay to make mistakes, it is okay to lose. And that actually, not many people remember winning a game 3 years ago because of X, Y, and Z. It's the more, when the emotions are more connected for players to certain outcomes, which is usually losing, that those things stick together more. It then imprints, right, when we lost, I did this, this, and this. I now realise that next time I do that, when that happens, I can then do this. I think it sounds on such a high level of thinking and reflection, but actually, like, sometimes we don't give credit to how intelligent some of these players are. I think about the first group of players that I worked with in an academy was under nines 3-4 years ago, and introducing these cards, introducing sort of scenario and situation-based learning and problem-based learning through this, that actually maybe the first one or two times I delivered something like that, it was still slightly more coach-heavy and led than I'd want. And actually after a couple of attempts and different areas, actually I just had to step back and just drop in and drop out rather than like stopping and this and here. It's more of the idea that actually I just stood back, hands in pocket, for example, and just watched and allowed them to do it. And that wasn't the case. It was still a few bits dropped in about technical competencies, but yeah, it is changing that mindset, giving players more credit for actually they are more reflective, and especially when things aren't going well.
This podcast is kind of focused on a couple of things and really reminded me of, one, why we made match play cards, because there's some real gold dust in this kind of decision-making in games-based space. And then the other reason is, it's exactly why we did the UK tour, because I've learned loads of stuff. I've wrote down loads of other notes from here of, you know, cards in different areas of what working with and working against cards, so almost the opposite cards. Players know more than we think they do. Getting more out of the game, giving two cards to one team to the other. So it's definitely reminded me of loads of good stuff that we spoke about on tour, but also definitely confirmed why we made the cards, and super pleased that we can support you and you can help us as well.
Thanks, Jack, for having me. Appreciate it, and keep up the good work with all the cards.